That's where I'm going with this, guys. God's grace is the secret ingredient for us actually living a victorious life. And so I have a lot on this. I'm not going to preach really late, though, so maybe I'll even just preach twice on it if I need to. But there's a lot of thoughts out there about what God's grace is in relationship to sin. And I'm just going to say it, that there's a growing confusion over what it means for God to have grace towards us. And you might hear a lot of things that actually sound like, oh, God's grace actually comforts us in our sinful state. That's actually not what God's grace does. There's a lot of teaching out there that God's grace causes him to look the other way at our sin. Almost like, well, God knows what you're like, but because of his grace, he gives you a wink and a turn and isn't going to look. That's not God's grace, though. God's grace is not, it's almost like people say God understands my propensities to sin and he just accepts me in my sinful ways. Now, God loves you while you are yet a sinner, right? Christ died for you. When you hated him and despised him, he laid down his life for you. But you're not saved until you repent and turn to him. So God's grace isn't, oh, I'm just a big Santa Claus in the sky that now, because of my grace, I'm just going to like not take your sin serious. This is what Jude 1 says. Dear friends, I had been eagerly planning to write to you about the salvation we all share. But now I find that I must write about something else. So, Paul, you know, I think it's Paul that's writing Jude, right? No, Jude's writing Jude? Who's writing Jude? Jude? Oh, the modest guy. Not, oh, yeah. The other Judas. Not the one dead for betraying the Lord. So he says, but now I find that I must write about something else, urging you to defend the faith that God has entrusted once and for all to his holy people. Verse 4, I say this because some ungodly people have wormed their way into the churches, saying that God's marvelous grace allows us to live immoral lives. Here's Jude saying, there's something else I want to write to you about, but I can't because this is too important. I've heard this rumor that there are people actually among you saying that God's grace is a license to sin. That God's grace is like somehow allows for us to be immoral. Well, God knows I have sexual needs, so he just knows me and it's okay. My sin is okay. But that's not what God's grace does. God's grace is actually better than that. Way better than that. Now, am I saying that there's no mercy for us when we fail? No. There's great mercy for us when we fail. The mercy is the gift of repentance, though. That's God's mercy. The mercy is that God says over and over, though a righteous man falls 1,000 times, he will rise again in repentance, in change of heart, in transformation, right? To repent is to sincerely turn away from our sin in a commitment to God's wisdom and his ways. That's what repentance is. So if we feel like, or we begin to listen to, and I just encourage you, I actually hate criticizing other ministries, other churches, or even, I don't think you've ever heard me point a finger at a specific church denomination ever and call them out as heretics. I feel like if we preach the truth, you should be able to tell when the lie is in front of you. So I will tell you, though, do not set yourself in front of teachers who do not tell you that you can overcome sin. Do not set yourself in front of Bible teachers whose goal is to comfort you in your sin. Do not do that. That is not going to help you in the end. That is not going to help you. Actually, in the scripture, it says that they've wormed their way into the church with a false message. Because God's grace is so much better than that. See, the issue is when we embrace that, like, well, God's grace, I just need to be comforted in my sin, we don't realize how terrible our sin is. The issue of sin is no small thing, right? The issue of sin drove Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God, to the cross. The issue of sin was huge. Literally, one act of disobedience threw the entire earth, the perfect created order, into chaos, into brokenness when sin entered. Sin eternally damned the human race to hell, an eternal separation from God. We need a whole lot more than some comfort in our sin. The grace of God's got to be about something different than that, right? Sin destroys the dignity of human beings. And if you follow that sin, literally the enemy will reduce you to nothing more than an instinctual animal that just going after its next craving. And that, my friend, is not what you were born for. You are made glorious in the image of Christ, not to be tossed around by every craving and every little desire that ever comes up. No, he made you to be full of self-control. He made you to be a master over your life, to be the conductor of your own train, to be the master of your ship, not tossed by every single wind, but saying, no, I take my life and I live a life of dignity for the sake of Christ. And the enemy wants to lull us into this just like peace with our sin, which reduces us, destroys us, and reduces us to absolute ruin. So we don't really need comfort. We actually need deliverance, right? And the good news today is that the grace of God is actually the power of God working in us, not to comfort us, but to completely deliver us from sin's power. Think about how crazy it would be if I was walking along and I saw Joseph Cardenas had slipped into a terrible, deep, muddy pit. It was terrible. He like fell down into this pit and he's trapped down there and he's about half deep in mud, stuck. And I said, oh, friend, I'm so sorry you're down there. Let me grab you a remote control and a weighted blanket to comfort you. Let me get you your blankie and a remote control and your TV. Because you know what? You're never getting out. So why don't you just get a little comfort? Would I really be his friend? Did I help him? Right? No. And the grace of God is more than a weighted blanket and a remote control to your television. The grace of God is deliverance from sin and sin's power forever. That's why I called it the atomic bomb, because the grace of God is like an atomic bomb. It doesn't just damage sin. It obliterates and utterly destroys the power of sin in your life. It may come as a bold statement. Do you know you never have to sin again? You actually never have to sin again. John says that if you know the Lord, you won't sin. And then he turns around and says, but when you do sin, we have an advocate. In other words, do you ever make a mistake? Yes. Do you have a nature to perpetually sin? No, actually you don't anymore. Not if you're in Christ. You have a different nature. You have a nature to actually love Jesus, right? How many of you, when you came to Christ, all of a sudden you found out you were a completely different person? Like completely different. How many of you used to just love getting drunk and you can't even fathom doing that now? How many of you, there's things that you thought were just so fun that now it turns your stomach at the thought of going back and doing that thing? Guess what? It's because you're a new creation in Christ, right? You actually have a whole new nature. You're not just comforted in your sin a little bit now. You are brand new. You have new desires. You have new thoughts, right? Many years ago, the Lord spoke to me in a dream about his grace. And it was in 2014. I had a lot of fun trying to find this dream in my dozen journals. I've often said if there was a fire in our house, as long as I knew the children and the pets were out, the one thing I'd go back into the flames for were my journals. I think I would, like, just let me grab my journals, please. So back in 2014, the Lord gave me a dream about the grace of God. It has impacted me so deeply, so deeply. It has made this subject such a passion for me because I don't want to see God's people struggle in cycles of like endless cycles of pain and failure. It's just not your portion. Do we have to fight the good fight of faith sometimes? Do we have to sometimes get accountability and call in the troops to help us when we're struggling, right, in temptation? Absolutely. Do we have, but you know, the big battle is to renew our mind to think like Christ, right? When your mind thinks like the Lord, your actions follow. And if we know what God's grace is available, like just this last week, I was feeling really convicted about, the Lord was just showing me some areas of pride. And I was like, oh man, you're right, Lord. I was thinking about that. And for a second, I started feeling, man, I hate that I'm dealing with that again. Lord, I am so sorry. For just a minute, I was kind of starting to get kind of feel down on myself. And then I felt like the Lord say, Autumn, anchor into your new nature. Anchor yourself into the nature I gave you. And it just switched everything for me. I was like, Lord, thank you. You've actually given me the nature of Christ, which is one of great humility. Lord, I'm sorry that I was forgetting the nature of Christ that you gave me, that humble nature that always prefers everyone else. But Lord, thank you for reminding me that my true nature is the nature of you, Jesus, who you are the best of all servants and the greatest of all people who lay down their life and love. And thank you, God, that now I see this. I can just leave this thing that doesn't belong to me anyway. It changed everything. All of a sudden, I wasn't feeling condemned. I was feeling built up of my spirit, remembering the nature he gave me that I need to now walk in again. Oh, I forgot the nature for a second. I forgot what you gave to me, Lord. This is my dream. You guys pay attention to your dreams. They could change your lives. I had this was an incredible dream. I was with my father, who represented Father God in the dream, and we were climbing a mountain together. And he looked at me and he said, Autumn, I want to show you what I want to give to you. And then he brought me a horse and we rode bareback up the mountain. Not something I can do in real life, but it was awesome. Like, ooh, like a movie, hair blowing in the wind, free. And we were just riding all the way to the top of this mountain. I got off the horse and he led me around to the edge where all of a sudden we just like, we reached the top, the pinnacle of the mountain, and we stepped around, and all of a sudden, there it was, the expanse of the entire earth in front of me. Literally, I saw all the kingdoms of the world laid out from on top of this mountain, and I looked at him and said, you want to give me the kingdoms of this earth? Do you know that scripture actually says that he will give the saints the kingdoms of the earth? I was amazed as I could see it stretch out, and the Lord was there with me saying, this is what I have for you, Autumn. Do you know the destiny that you have? The things we spin our wheels in, the sin that we deal with down here, because we have no idea the royal destiny that belongs to us. You were born to lead nations. You were born to shine. You were born for triumph, for victory. In ages to come, you will be diplomats and presidents of nations under his command for his glory. I'm telling you, like you were born. He's training for reigning. That's what we're doing, training for reigning. And so he shows me this. I'm overwhelmed, and I'm thinking of Revelation 16, where it says, the kingdom of this world will be the kingdom of my God and of his Christ. And the scripture in Daniel where it says the Ancient of Days sat there and he passed judgment in favor of the saints and he declared that he would give them the kingdom. I was thinking of these scriptures as I'm looking at all that God has for us. And then we start journeying down the mountain in the dream. And it gets dark, and we're going to camp under the stars. And I'm there with my family and different family members, extended family members, and there's a campfire. And we just lay down on the ground. The stars are shining. And in the dream, I fall asleep, and I wake up like in the middle of the night because I hear something running through the bushes around the camp. And I look into the darkness, and I can see the wolves have surrounded us. And they are surrounding the little camp. They're circling us, and we are, like, in great danger. We all jump up, and we're like, we have to grab the children. We have to run to the top of the mountain for safety. And in the dream, my little niece, Grace, is in the dream. And at this time, she was maybe, like, 2 years old or three. And I said, we've got to grab Grace and run with Grace. But when I looked down to grab her, there were two Graces. Two little Graces that looked identical. Two little girls, my little niece, named Grace, two of them. One of them was close to the wolves, and one was on this side, and I was standing between them, and I was like, I've got to grab Grace and run with her. And I said, but I don't know which one is true and which one is false. And literally in the dream, I cry out to God, Lord, show me which Grace is true and which Grace is false so I can run. And immediately by the Spirit, the Lord says the Grace that's closest to the wolves is false. And I grabbed little Grace, the one that was closer to me. I grabbed her and I began to run with her. And the other one, the wolves can eat for all I care. Because she wasn't true. And my whole family, we were running up the mountain, and we ran all the way to the top until we ran to a place where there was a cliff behind us. We could go no farther. And there we were, my sister-in-laws and the little nephews and nieces and, you know, the whole family. And the wolves are now have multiplied, and they're marching towards us like in army formation, fully wolves, but like human-like, like they were in formation, maybe like the Lion King. The hyenas, do you guys remember? Sorry, it's such a spiritual movie. Really, there's a lot of illustrations in that movie. Yeah. Anyway, they're marching towards us, and there's clearly an alpha male at the front that's leading the formation. And all of a sudden, everybody's like saying things. What should we do? Let's get organized. How are we? You know, they're like hear different people saying things. Let's get ourselves organized. What are we going to do? What's the plan? And instinct, I don't even answer anybody. I race towards the alpha male. I grab his jaws and rip it apart with my bare hands. Then I take his body and begin to, on the rocks, tear, and then I take it and begin to shred it and rip it apart with my bare hands. I am drenched in the blood of this thing, standing there in victory, and all of the wolves begin to do this, backing up now, and turn around and run. And then we start celebrating, and we're having this party, and my sister-in-law comes up to me, and she says, in the dream, she says, other people have dreamed of it, but you really did it. You confronted that false Grace. You ripped it to shreds, and you believed God for the power of his real Grace to not comfort you in sin, but to deliver you from it, Autumn. I tell you, that dream was so profound. I know it's like a storyboard. It could have been a little movie or something, right? But the truth of it, you were born for greatness. Sin is not your friend. And God has provided a way for you not to be comforted in it, but to be delivered from it. But you will not live like that if you don't believe it. If you believe that God just saves you just enough to make you a slightly better person, then that's how you're going to act. A slightly better person that feels disappointed all the time. That they can't be better. But if you know that you're actually a new creation in Christ Jesus, And all the old things have passed away, and behold, everything has become new. And he has withheld nothing from you. All of his power, all of his grace, all of his resources laid at your feet for your disposal, it changes everything for you. Everything. Let's turn to Romans chapter 6. I'm just going to spend a few minutes reading a little bit in Romans. Anyone like that dream? Anyone want to just like take the enemy? He's been really taunting some of you. Just run straight at him. You know what? David ran at his giant. He didn't wait for the giant to come to him. When there is something taunting you and telling you that you are not good enough or that you can't do it, that you're not going to ever overcome, don't run from it. You run straight to it. In the spirit, just rip it apart. I'm so awesome in my dreams. I just wish I could, like, I don't know, be a superhero sometimes. I love Romans 6. Romans says this: should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Because in Romans 5, it's talking about God's wonderful grace and that the more we sin, the more we need it, right? More sin abounded in all the earth, the more the Lord had to show his grace. And then Paul says, so should we just keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more grace? Of course not. Since we've died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Did you know you died to sin when you came to Christ? Completely died to it. You died to your sin when you came to Christ. How could you continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten? Oh, that's a good phrase right there. Have you forgotten? I know I forget. Sincerely, I completely forget that I died to my sin already. And I'm like, oh, I'm living like that thing is still the boss. What am I doing? I forgot for a minute. I died to it. It doesn't have any mastery over me anymore. It says, have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. Baptism is so, so, so powerful. It's a symbol of going underneath that water. It's a symbol, and it's more than a symbol. And all the sinful nature is drowned and buried with Christ under the waters of baptism. And we come up anew with him, with a new nature. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live. And since we've been united with him in death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that, listen to this, our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. How many ways can he say it? Sin has lost its power in your life. Here he says it again. We are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. God's grace is so much more than comfort when we mess up. He's like, you know what? You're going to feel comforted when you realize that you can defeat that thing. That's real comfort. That's the true comfort, isn't it? When you realize there's power for me to actually live in victory over sin and to live by my new nature. Verse 11, you should consider yourself to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. You should consider yourself. You should think about this. You can consider, I'm just not alive to that anymore. I'm dead to that. Verse 12, do not let sin control the way you live. See, you used to not have a choice what controlled you. Before you came to Christ, your understanding was darkened, and you really didn't you didn't have the same dignity of choice on what controlled you. You were controlled by sin. Now you're free from the power of sin, and you get to choose whether you let that sin back in or not. You actually have the power to say, no, I'm not going to let it back in. I'm not going to let it in because I'm dead to it. So he says, don't let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to the sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God. For you were dead, but now you have a new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace, which is the power to overcome. I just wanted to say a few truths about those who live without Christ. Maybe you're here and you have never actually given your life to the Lord. And I don't mean just pray a sweet prayer. I mean you give your life to the Lord. Like, my life's not my own. I'm giving it to Christ. I'm trusting him with my future. I give him all my decisions. I literally make him the Lord, the number one in my life. That's what I mean when I say give your life to Christ, okay? The truth about those who are without Christ. For all of us in this room, we used to be without Christ. Some of us, you might still be without him, really. Those that are without Christ are dead spiritually. We just read it. They're alive physically, right? But spiritually, they are dead. Their spirit is not alive to God yet. They're slaves to sin. Every person outside of Christ is a slave to sin. And they are separated from God now in this life. And if they don't make a different choice, they will continue to be separated for all eternity. We are all, if we're outside of Christ, separated from God. And our very nature, when we don't know God, is a nature of sin and darkness. But this is the truth about all who are in Christ. This is what God wants you to remember about who you are right now. And if you're in this room and you've never met Jesus, this is what he's offering to you today. This is the truth about all who are in the Lord. In relationship to sin, don't worry, you're dead. In relationship to Christ, now you're alive in him. In relationship to your nature, you're completely a new creation in Christ. And you possess a new nature, a nature that's holy, righteous, and godly. God has given you his power to overcome any sin and live righteously. And this is called the grace of God for all who believe. That's good news. That's good news. I know why people say this, but I don't love it. Sometimes people, I think they're trying to, like, I'm not critical of any person. I don't love it when people say, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. You were a sinner, and it's true, you were saved by grace. But you are now a saint. You are not. God never calls the redeemed sinners currently. You were a sinner. You were saved by grace. And now you are a saint. You are the redeemed. You are the child of the Most God. You are the one that carries the very nature of the Lord. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. You are the one the river flows through. Out of your belly comes rivers of living water. And I understand when people say it, maybe, like, I feel like maybe they're trying to be, embrace the humility that there's nothing we could do to save ourselves. I understand that. I just don't want anyone in this room to walk away feeling like, well, I'm just a sinner. You're not a sinner anymore. If you've come to Christ, he's given you a new nature. You were a sinner. You are not a sinner anymore. You are now a saint. You're now an overcomer. You're now a glorious one that leads others to righteousness. You're now the light of the world. Sinners aren't the light of the world, but you're the light of the world now. You're the one that shows others how to come to him. You're the one entrusted with the words of life. Your testimony is powerful. I would prefer, just eradicate that from your lips even. You're not a sinner anymore. You are a saint who occasionally forgets and sins. And then you have to repent and come back to the Lord, which can take 10 seconds, guys. You don't have to wallow in it for a week. You know that? Who are you proving something to? Are you proving it to God? I'm really sorry. I really mean it. So I'm going to stick myself in time out for the next 2 weeks. And I'm not going to do anything but feel bad for myself so you can know, God, that I really mean it. Is that what he's asking of you? How about, I screwed up. I know you gave me your spirit so I can do better. Let's go. Let's run. How about instead of coming into the worship service feeling so condemned because, you know, you had a fight with your spouse on the way to church. I hope no one does that. You know, if you do, you can stop that. You really can. Just recognize the devil's real. He's really a jerk. And why are you fighting in the car on the way to church? So you come into church and you spend half of worship just feeling condemned because you were a rotten person in the car to your husband or your wife. You know what? You come into church and say, God, next week I'm going to do better. You know, here I am. Enjoy me. Do you know he wants to enjoy you? And he wants you to enjoy him? It's not making light of our sin. It's saying when we realize our true nature, we don't have to wallow in that thing. We can say, God, forgive me. I'm back into the nature you actually gave me. Let me grow in the knowledge of the new being that I am. That's what it means to grow in God. When you're born again, you're fully born again, but you get to discover what that means for the rest of your life. So you fully have access to everything in the Holy Spirit the moment you're born again, right? You have full access to God's love. You have full access to the power of God. You can raise the dead 5 minutes later. You really can. You can heal the sick 30 seconds after you come to Christ. You fully have his authority. You fully have his approval. You fully have his love. But it takes us a while to discover all that he's given us in this new nature, right? That's why we renew our minds. That's why we're continually going, what does Romans 6 say again? Have you forgotten that you were joined with Christ? Have you forgotten that you're dead to sin? What are you doing? What are you doing living like a sinner? I think you forgot that you're dead to that. Whoa, you're totally right, Lord. I'm renewing my mind about my nature that you gave me. That's actually holy and righteous. I'm renewing my mind about my relationship with sin. It's not over me. I'm over it. It's dead. Buried. Praise God. Chad, could you just come up to, would you mind playing guitar? Oh, never mind. Why don't you put some music on back there? Are you? Oh, okay. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were like, had put your gear away or something. Thank you, Lord. Why don't we stand up right now? There's two things I want us to do with this super little short message that we had. One is that if you're in this room and you really don't know what it's like to have the nature of God that I'm talking about because you really are living away from the Lord. Maybe you've been religious. Maybe you went to church. Maybe this is the first time you've ever stepped through the doors of a church. But really when it comes to it, you know that I have not experienced what she's talking about. I haven't really given my entire life to God and experienced him giving me the new heart. that she's talking about, giving me a new set of desires. And if that's you, I want to give you an opportunity today to run to God, to run to Jesus Christ. And when you run to him, you need to know you're coming to Creator God of the universe, who is literally over everything. And he's also giving you an invitation for you to be his true son and daughter. He's powerful, he's holy, he's perfect, and he's gentle, and he's really loving, and he's actually calling you today. Everyone, close your eyes, please. If that is you, if you really want to come to Christ right now, and you're saying, I want that new nature, the nature of God, I just want you to raise your hand and we're going to pray together right now. Every eye closed, no one looking around. If you're like, I need to come to him right now. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, it's great. Awesome. All right, let's everyone pray this together. For the few even that raise their hand, let's everyone just pray it together. Say, Jesus, I'm running to you. You're beautiful, and you're my Savior. I ask you to forgive me for living a life apart from you. I never want to be apart from you again. I give you my entire life. I commit to living for you and doing things your way. You can have everything. Amen. The second thing is that you may be a believer in the room and you've been just living super defeated and feeling like you just have no victory. And I just want to say, like, anyone who's been in Christ a while, I think everyone can relate to that, to just forgetting who you are in Christ, forgetting God's love for you, forgetting the power that's available to you. And you're like, I am caught in cycles of sin or depression, or I just feel like so defeated, like the enemy's eating my lunch every day, condemning me, beating me up. I'm doing stupid things. And you really love the Lord. Like, it's eating you up on the inside. And there's two things. The first is like true repentance. The gift of God is to be able to repent, right? The gift of God is to say, I'm leaving that behind again, Lord. Forgive me. In sincerity, I turn my heart to you. I receive your forgiveness. But also I choose to renew my mind about what you said about who I am and the power that I have in you. And so if you've just been feeling like you've been living in defeat, I just want us to have a time where we just are able to worship together, actually filling the front and just coming before the Lord again, saying, God, I believe you. I believe your word. I believe this word, what you said about who I am. I choose today again to believe the old self is actually dead. I have a new nature and I'm going to live from it. Teach me how. And if that's you and you've been in that struggle, I just want you to come up and we're just going to worship the Lord right now. So don't wait. Don't see if anyone else is. Just step forward. Chad's going to lead us in some worship and we're just going to pray. And maybe you'll feel led to pray for each other. That's fine. Talk to the Lord.
right here. I'm just gonna wait here, cause I am yours, you are mine. You're my reward, my delight. Quiet fear, let your love be near. You're not going anywhere, I'm not going anywhere. Let your love quiet fear, let your love be near. Cause I am yours, you are mine, you're my reward, you're my delight. All my
you want to come up and you have your heart to pray for anyone up here, just want to give us a few more minutes. Feel free to come up and pray for one of your brothers.